Chapter 6. The night before we were going to the oyster beds, I had many dreams about sharks. Ned and Conseil didn't seem worried about the sharks at all. The next day, we were dressed in our special suits and climbed into the lifeboat. Some of the crew rowed us out to the oyster beds and we dropped into the ocean. We were armed with knives to protect ourselves, and Ned brought along his harpoon. We walked along the bottom of the ocean to the oyster beds and saw lots of different sea creatures as we walked. Captain Nemo didn't stop moving to admire anything. He led us to an underground cave that had a giant oyster inside of it. It was so big that it must have weighed the same as three men. Nemo went over to the oyster and prized open the shell to reveal a pearl that was the size of a coconut and looked perfectly formed. Nemo told me he had been feeding the oyster to make the pearl inside get bigger and bigger until it was just right to pluck out. After we had all seen the pearl, Nemo closed the shell and we walked back to the oyster beds. As we got closer to them, we saw a shadow. It was a man swimming towards the oyster beds. He was trying to get a head start on the other divers, but he didn't see us. He was swimming along, not noticing anything, not even the shark. I stopped still and stared at the shark as it swam towards the diver. The shark attacked the diver, and then, without any warning, Nemo leapt at the shark and stabbed it with the knife in the belly. But he didn't kill the shark. It kept swimming around. But now, it was going to attack Captain Nemo. Ned readied the harpoon and fired it. The harpoon pierced the shark in the heart and it died. Nemo rushed over to look after the diver. He wasn't badly hurt, but he was unconscious. We took him back to the lifeboat and waited for him to wake up. When the diver did wake up, Nemo gave him a string of pearls and sent him on his way. We took the lifeboat back to the submarine and took off our special suits. "Thank you for saving me, Ned," Captain Nemo said when we were safe on the Nautilus. "You are welcome. I owed you for saving my life," Ned said to him. We went to the museum to look at the oyster beds through the glass sides of the submarine. More sharks had come to the oyster beds and were now eating the shark that Ned had killed. Nemo was with me as I watched the sharks. "I am surprised that you saved that diver," I told him. "The diver is a man that lives under the rule of greedy and evil men. I am his ally and shall remain so to my very last breath," Nemo replied. The Nautilus set off again. By now, we had covered 7,500 leagues, and we were going to the Persian Gulf. Ned was very confused, as the Persian Gulf was a dead end. It was clear that we weren't going to be getting to Europe any time soon. I was sure that Nemo was going to turn around very soon, but we didn't. Instead, we kept going into the Red Sea and were not far from the coast of Africa. I spent a few days with Conseil, looking at all the life in the sea. Nemo came to find me to find out how I was enjoying my time on the Nautilus. I told him that I was enjoying myself. It was true that I liked being on the submarine. I had many books to read and had seen far more creatures that lived in the sea than I had ever dreamed. But I was still unsure about being on the submarine under the command of Captain Nemo. The Red Sea was very hard to sail across, but the Nautilus had no problem with it. "Your ship is centuries ahead of its time. What a shame it will be that the secret of it will die with its inventor," I said. Nemo didn't reply to me. Instead, he changed the subject. "I will tell you a secret. We will be in the Mediterranean Sea tomorrow," Nemo told me. I was so surprised that I didn't know what to say. There was no way that we could sail all the way around Africa in a day, even in a submarine as fast as the Nautilus was. "How?" I asked. "We're not going around Africa or over it. We are going under it. There is a secret underwater tunnel that I have named the Arabian Tunnel. I found it when I noticed that some of the same fish were in the Mediterranean Sea that were in the Red Sea. I knew that there must be a tunnel that linked the two of them. I looked until I found the Arabian Tunnel," Nemo told me. As he told me about it, it made complete sense. I couldn't believe that no one else had thought of it before. I ran to tell Ned and Conseil all about the tunnel. Ned was very skeptical, but Conseil believed me. "You should be more open-minded. If the passage does exist, It will get you to Europe much more quickly, Conseil told Ned. We went onto the deck of the ship after we talked about the tunnel, and Conseil spotted something that he thought was a mermaid. No, it isn't a mermaid. This is a dugong. It's a sea cow with a forked tail and large tusks, I told him. I want to harpoon it, Ned cried. He went to get his harpoon and asked Nemo if he could kill it. You can kill it, but you need to kill it with the first hit. It's a mean creature, Nemo warned him. Ned went out into the sea with his harpoon in the lifeboat. We watched as Ned threw the harpoon. It hit the dugong, but it wasn't dead. Ned pulled back his harpoon as the dugong turned and swam towards Ned in the boat. Ned was cursing as he tried to chase the dugong without it attacking the boat. The dugong nearly sank the boat, but after an hour, Ned finally killed the creature. We had a feast of dugong meat that night and the next day. I went to the cockpit of the Nautilus to watch as we went through the Arabian Tunnel. It took 20 minutes for us to get from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. Ned didn't believe that we were in the Mediterranean Sea until he saw the coast of Egypt in the distance. Now that we were in the Mediterranean Sea, Ned started to talk about escaping again. But I wanted no part in any escape. I wasn't sure about Captain Nemo, but I wanted to carry on the journey we were on. I have enjoyed this journey we have been on, but I want to go home now, Ned said to me. Everything will be okay. We will escape soon enough. I tried to calm him down, but Ned didn't believe me anymore. I know you just want to stay on the Nautilus because you want to explore the rest of the ocean, Ned told me. That's not true, I said. If you could leave right now, would you? Ned asked me. I'm not sure, I replied. If you could leave right now and was the only time that Nemo would let you leave, would you? Ned asked. I didn't answer, and Conseil didn't have anything to say either. We will escape when we can all escape safely, otherwise it won't be worth it, I agreed at last. We can steal the lifeboat and row to the coast, Ned said. Okay, but if we fail, then it will ruin everything, I warned him. I didn't think that we would ever be able to steal the lifeboat. Nemo was even more careful now that we were close to Europe. While we were in the Mediterranean Sea, Nemo kept us away from the coast and even away from the surface of the water. I thought that we were going towards Crete. When the Abraham Lincoln was leaving New York, there was a revolt beginning on Crete. The people were rising against the Turks that were occupying the island. I didn't think that Captain Nemo could possibly know about it, but I decided that it was best not to mention it to him. I spent my days in the museum, looking at the sea life through the glass sides of the submarine. I had learned a lot about different fish already, but I knew there was a lot more to learn. When I was sitting there, Nemo came to join me. As we watched the sea, we saw a man out of the window. It looked like he had been shipwrecked and was now drowning. "Please save him," I cried. But Nemo just laughed at me. "That is Pesce. He's a famous diver. He's not really drowning," Nemo told me. After he said this, Nemo went over to one of the cabinets in the museum and opened it. It was full of gold bars. He took a few out of the cabinet and placed them in a big chest. When he was done, some of the crew came and carried the chest to the lifeboat. Nemo didn't say anything to me about the gold. A few hours later, I heard the lifeboat leaving the ship with the crew and the gold. When it came back, the chest with the gold in it was gone. I couldn't sleep that night as I lay awake thinking about the gold. The next day, I told Ned and Conseil about what I had seen. None of us knew where Nemo would have gotten so much gold from. He told me that he was rich before, but gold bars on a submarine was something that I hadn't imagined. That day, something strange was happening on the Nautilus. It was getting hotter on the ship. It got so hot that I thought that the submarine might be on fire. After lunch, I went to find Captain Nemo to ask him why it was so hot on the ship. "We are floating over the jets of boiling water near the island of Santorini," Nemo told me. The water was boiling near the island because there were many underground volcanoes in the area. We stayed over the jets of boiling water all day until it was too hot in the Nautilus for me to bear any longer. "Please, Captain, can you move the ship?" I asked when the heat was too much to bear any longer. Nemo agreed and the Nautilus began to move again. After dinner that night, I had a terrible thought. If Ned, Conseil and I had tried to escape from the Nautilus that day, we would have been boiled alive. I began to think that Nemo knew what we were up to. It took us only 2 days for us to cross the Mediterranean Sea, which gave us no time to escape from the ship. Ned was very angry about it, but there was nothing that we could do. I spent the 2 days in the museum with Conseil. There were many shipwrecks for us to look at, but the sight of them upset me. I couldn't help but think about how many men had died when the ships had sunk. By the end of the second day, we passed through the Strait of Gibraltar and sailed out into the Atlantic.